Good evening and welcome to the Franchise Tag Podcast with me, your host, Freddie Hall. I hope you're doing all good. We are officially getting ever so closer to the draft now. We are only a week away. Very, very exciting times ahead on the 26th, Thursday the 26th. The draft will be on. It'll be on late night, early morning. So that's just if you really want to watch round one and watches it all happen to you, book off that Friday. You might be running out of time to do that. But we have all done that. I mean, or at least submitted to the fact that we are going to be tired the next day anyway. But Sky, Andrew, welcome back to the podcast today. We're going to look a little bit differently, not as so much at individual positions like we have done on the last previous ones. We're going to be looking at draft needs for some NFL teams. We've got a couple of teams down the board, them being the Patriots, the Jets, the Raiders and the Cowboys, what we're going to be looking at. And we're going to be looking at positions that they need to improve in this draft. Sky's going to be benefiting from that. He's going to give us positions. And Andrew's going to be talking about some of the players that may go in the first round or where they could look down the board at other positions they have. And we've also been doing other draft content as well. Andrew and Adam did their mock the mock at the weekend, which is a really good watch. So I encourage you to go and watch that. And I'm sure there's going to be more content coming from us soon. So we'll kick off straight away with the New England Patriots, that being Sky's team. They're picking at number three. They have 8 picks within the draft. Sky, the team obviously very close to you, the team you support. What positions do you think that they need to improve in?
I think the standout three for me is obviously a lot of talk has been between Daniels or May at the quarterback position. But I think that is the obvious one, and that's the thing, luxury of the draft, right? Everyone knows that focus, top 5 picks, you want your franchise quarterback. But we had the 6th fewest sacks in the league last year, so I think getting some pressure up front on that D-line and edge rusher is really important. And also receiving-wise, I mean, the Patriots have been really poor in that position, 29th in receiving yards last year. So yeah, QB, wide receiver and edge rusher are the three that I'm hoping we are able to nail this draft as part of the, you know, new era with Jerod Mayo and some people in the front office I've been to make their own impact too.
I mean, you said them three positions. I mean, you've literally quoted three of what is most important positions in the NFL, really. And I mean, it's a new dawn. It's a new day for the New England Patriots as well. It's hopefully not going to be a boring draft that we sometimes expect from the New England Patriots, or maybe trading down and stuff like that. But yeah, them three positions, quarterback, wide receiver, and the edge rusher, I completely agree on as well. I think you're looking all right in the secondary there. The O-line is always seems to be strong in New England. And obviously having that third pick being the first pick in the draft as well. I don't think you have a 34th pick in the second round as well. You also have the 68th pick in the third round, top of the first, top of the second, top of the third. I mean, Andrew, the free pick is going to be the focus, and then obviously moving down the board. What direction do you think this New England Patriots team under Newstead of Jerod Mayo could do?
Yeah, I think they're a really interesting team. I think they're probably one of the teams that I'm conflicted with slightly. I know me and Adam have had several conversations about this. It's fantastic that we've got Sky on board to kind of put our minds at ease with this as a fan that might have some inside knowledge. But if there's a standout two quarterbacks in this draft and they're gone 1 and 2, is there any chance that we see the Patriots not go quarterback? That would be the question that I've got on this. When you talk about their needs, for me, I think their desperate need is a wide receiver. I think that's one of the worst wide receiving cores in the NFL at the moment, of KJ Osborne, Kendrick Bourne, and DeMario Douglas looked good last year, didn't he? But again, unproven. I'm saying if you bring a young rookie quarterback into that and you give them nothing, you know, a lot of people are saying, I've heard this, JJ McCarthy's been buzzed around a lot, but he feels a bit like the Mac Jones pick to me. You know, he was on the best team in college that carried him all the way to a final, and he's got limited sort of skill set. You know, he's good at stuff, but he's not great at everything. That sounds a little bit like Mac Jones to me, doesn't it? And I'm now thinking, do the Patriots want to fall into that category again where they're going, well, the two guys that we wanted, Caleb Williams and maybe Jaden Daniels, are gone. Maybe we go wide receiver, take Marvin Harrison. Sky, what are your thoughts? Do you think they could take Marvin Harrison at that pick? You know, it could automatically make you better.
Yeah, I think when I've... fall in love with him as soon as you watch him, right? His dad's a top 10 wide receiver all time, but his son seems to be a bigger and faster version of him. So whoever lands him is like a dream pick. I weirdly have gone from thinking we should get Marvin Harrison and then, you know, you have Jacoby Brissett there to start, who's a journeyman but had success in the NFL. But then the wide receiver class is so stacked. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot more than me with college. But when I look down at who we could potentially get in the second, and, you know, you look at your Mitchells and Coleman, I just think maybe you have to go with quarterback there. And me and Andrew discussed this on the weekend. I feel like I've gone back through Drake May's tape and fallen in love with him again. I think his arm strength is ridiculous. In terms of like the touch and velocity he gets, he seems unfazed by pressure in the pocket. He's probably one of the only quarterbacks in recent years who, when he has that pressure, he still manages to get those elite throws off. He almost seems like a more ready Josh Allen. And I just hope that, considering that Josh Allen's picked us apart for the last few years, that maybe we don't go down that route of say, I completely agree, it feels like a Matt Jones pick again if you go with JJ McCarthy, because I think everyone's getting into this whole, oh, Tom Brady has his affiliation with Michigan, let's go with a nice little story there. But I'm hoping it's more smoke and mirrors and we do pick Drake May. But to be honest, to answer your original question, as much as I'm saying that, I think it would be nice to go with the Marvin Harrison route to make a statement and do something different to what we've had with Bill Belichick. I think the worst case scenario is trading back, because then you're just doing the same. So either take your quarterback of the future or do something different, go receiver, and then maybe you can trade back in the later rounds and just get a lot more depth in other positions.
Yeah, I say this because I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks earlier today, and they were talking about the hit success rate of wide receivers taken in the top 10 and then wide receivers taken outside of that. And it's virtually over the past sort of 3 years, the top three guys that have gone in the draft have all been like hit, like elite wide receivers. And it sort of drops off if they're taken in the 20s, and the second round didn't have much on that. So although we like the depth of this class, I've said all along through it, there's three guys, there's Brian Thomas, and then there's a lot of wide receiver twos, and I think you need a wide receiver one. And looking at your draft picks that you've got, I believe that pick 34 and 103 is enough to move back into the first. Okay. I think if you keep pick 68, the third round, because you're going to need that to address O-line. I think you'll use that for O-line. And I think you could, yeah, probably package up pick 34, 103, maybe, or 137, and move back up to the first. Maybe take a quarterback, maybe take a Michael Penix in around that sort of 20 spot.
I like Penix. I would be happy with that. I'd kind of want us to stay away from Bo Nix. He seems to be someone who would just maybe suit a Sean Payton style of head coaching. Penix, I know there's question marks around the injuries, but I think we're seeing a lot of these young players now overcoming injuries at a young age and still going on to have great careers. Even people who've come in the league and maybe been hurt, like your Joe Burrows or your Breece Halls, and then now they're still linchpins of those franchises. So I don't think injuries should scare the Patriots. I think they did not have dinner with Penix, I think we had last night, or it's planned for tonight. And that also caught me by surprise, because we didn't really send anyone to go and scout him. I think there was only one guy who went. So maybe now that other teams are giving him attention, it's like, well, actually, let's assess all of our options in case we do decide to go receiver and then look at him later in the draft, like you said.
Which, with the edge rusher position that you also mentioned there, Sky Dandrew, do you not agree that they do need to look at that? And also, it is a position that we've not covered on the Tuesday show, really. Is there good depth? I know there's some decent players that are sort of mocked to go in that top 15, top 20 that are edge rushers. But is this class got some depth to it, or is it a little bit top heavy?
Yeah, there's definitely some depth to it. I think we've managed to, me and Adam did a top 10 of them. So there's 10 really good quality ones. I think there's maybe sort of the five names that everybody kind of knows that'll be possibly round ones, definitely three round one guys in there. But there's some guys that didn't do themselves any favors in the combine and things like that. Braylon Trice from Washington, I think, is an absolutely exceptional guy. I think he's going to drop slightly. I think someone's going to get a steal with him there. There's also Jonah Ellis as well from Utah. I think he's going to be a late round steal as well. He's someone that Adam is going to be planting the flag in and putting his name to and saying, that's a guy in the late rounds. I already know that you can definitely get. Chris Braswell as well from Alabama, an Alabama guy. He's projected to be going around sort of the 50 mark. So you know, prime position for if he's slightly low. It's not too much of a drop to 68 if he's round there, for the Patriots to address that. And I think if they can get someone like that, it's an instant impact for me. So there's depth all the way down, I think, to the early round three. That 68 mark is definitely getting a quality edge rusher, I think.
Okay, well, we'll move on to the next team that we're going to talk about this evening, and that is the New York Jets. They have got 7 picks in this draft as well. And I mean, a team that last year, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers going down within the first few seconds of the first game, it was a bit of a turbulent season for them. And there's definitely going to be given options this draft to go and strengthen. And I think we are very poised to see an incredibly different Jets team this season than we did last season. But Sky, what positions do you think they need to focus on?
I think as great as we know Robert Saleh's defense is, and we basically saw if they had, you know, mentioned with Rodgers, if they had good quarterback play last year, they probably would have been a playoff team. I think they need to address the safety position. That's the only weakness I see on their defense. And then offensively, I know a lot of people have said wide receiver. I'd put that as probably their third need, because you've still got Wilson, and Lazard will naturally probably be better than last year if Rodgers can be healthy. So I would look at tight end. I think people have talked about Conklin being a pretty competent tight end, and he did receive a lot of targets last year. I think it was more the case of just the QB play being so bad in New York that you do rely on your tight end, whether they're average or not, when that's not going well. So I think getting a star tight end, I'm sure Andrew knows where I'm hinting with this, in this draft, we know the name. I think that would be a big need. But yeah, number one for me is the safety position, and looking to get some weapons for Rodgers, whether that be a tight end or a wide receiver.
I don't think I'm going to follow you down the route with the safety, to be honest with you. I think this is the sort of, they're going to go for it all this year. I'm looking at a defense. I mean, Chuck Clark, Tony Adams, Ashton Davis, a safety position there. I think 3 very good players, and they've got some corners that can go into that area as well. I mean, this team's acquired Javon Kinlaw, Hassan Reddick this season. And I think under the tutelage of Salah. under Salah, I just call him Salah. There we go. That's easier. That makes it a lot more easier for fans out there. Salah, I think you've got to then look at their offense. Garrett Wilson, Mike Williams, Alan Lazard. It's definitely all about the Wilson show. Mike Williams has had his injury pressures and problems. Alan Lazard is not really is a competent number two. I mean, knows Aaron Rodgers, and obviously we'll hopefully have a full season with Rodgers this year. I have to agree with you in the tight end position. I know we're sort of probably pigeonholing the answer we are then Andrew is probably going to give us, but I think also that I think the O-line is a big thing for them. It's a constant problem for the Jets. They seem to draft it a lot, but it seems to be that they don't always hit on them. I mean, the question marks are still over. I can't even remember his name now. Mekhi Becton. Elijah Mary Tucker didn't have a full. Is he not there no more?
Gone.
Oh, is he gone? Okay. So, well, they brought in Morgan Moses and Tyron Smith on Johnson from the Ravens. But I still think they could use some depth there because they have had a history of injuries. But Andrew, what are you thinking? Are you agreeing with some of the stuff we're saying?
Again, it's another team that I'm really conflicted with. I'm not on as much of a hype train as a lot of people are of going, you know, Aaron Rodgers is back this year. This team instantly becomes playoff worthy. Because last year they spent a lot of time bringing in Aaron's mates. You know, they brought in Lazard, they brought in Randall Cobb. I'm thinking, you know, 2 older guys. And then this offseason, they bring in Mike Williams, an older guy. Tyron Smith, an older guy. Morgan Moses, an older guy. Hassan Reddick, an older guy. They just don't seem to be getting any younger. And I feel like in order to make a big playoff run, you need squad depth and you need to be rotating those players. And especially on the O-line for me, you definitely are going to be tested at that position. And having your left tackle and your right tackle in their 30s, I think come sort of December time, you're definitely going to have injuries across the O-line. Everyone does. And it's the teams that manage to fill those spots and move people around that sort of manage to get it. So I think O-line is a real big need for them, especially with the fact that they haven't got a pick after their first pick till round 3. So a lot of the big tackles are going to be gone. I think you can get fantastic interior guys in round 4 and onwards. But I think if you're going to get a good tackle and a good strong tackle and a young tackle at that, it's going to have to be early. So I'm having to try and weigh up my options of whether the blue chip player of Brock Bowers is good, because Fred, I'll go with you with it. What are your thoughts on, because people have said bring a wide receiver in, people have said, I've heard people say trade up and go for one of the big wide receivers or Brock Bowers. Aaron Rodgers has never really liked having young receivers in the building and hasn't really worked well with them. Do you think that that's going to hinder them picking Brock Bowers over maybe O-line or something like that? Or
I think with Aaron, you've always got to think about protection. I think that's his going to be his. I mean, he obviously loves having the weapons. But there's been a team that has not drafted weapons in the first round for a long time. And I think he's probably going to be quite excited for a team that would do that for him and get in some talent. Listen, if it was a young quarterback behind this O-line at the Jets, I would be very conflicted because you want that protection for them. But also, I think the tight end position now is as strong as ever. I think a young quarterback really benefits from a good tight end as a safety valve. But Rodgers, I don't think, needs no safety valve. I think he has a confidence, I think, in Garrett Wilson. Obviously, he does in Alan Lazard. I think we all know what Mike Williams is capable of, and so does he. So he's going to be happy with that. I think down the stretch he's going to be wanting that protection. And given the injury history that Tyron Smith has, who they've got in from the Dallas Cowboys, it's very, very hard to weigh up, because I think Brock Bowers is incredibly talented, and I think he's going to be revered like guys like Sam Laporta were this last year. I think he may even do better than some of them tight ends that last year that came into that draft and performed phenomenally for their teams. I'd be really, it's a real head scratcher. It's a real head scratcher for me. What do you reckon, Sky?
I think they need Bowers. And I think I always think of Aaron Rodgers, and I'm looking with nostalgia here. The Super Bowl, when they won his only ring, they had Jermichael Finley. He unfortunately had a lot of injuries, which obviously impacted the back end of his career. But he was such a go-to guy for Aaron Rodgers. And obviously, like you said, the tight end of position now has developed so much that these guys are essentially just big wide receivers who can do it all. And when I've watched his Georgia highlights, they even have him in like the runaround plays where, you know, he's lined up next to the running back and he'll come on the end around, which you would usually see from a quick wide receiver, from an X receiver. He's just got so much speed and physicality. I just feel like everything Andrew said there is right, that usually Rodgers doesn't do well with young receivers. And I know it is only a position, but they might almost command a bit more respect if he sees this giant of a man coming in with such superstar ability and be like, well, actually, I can make it work with him. He'll have his experienced receivers, and you've got a blue chip tight end there for even when Rodgers retires in a couple of years, whoever they get a quarterback after that, you know, that's a great tool to have in, on your franchise for the next 5 to 10 years.
I think when we're evaluating these teams as well, we've got to look at where they're at in situations. Obviously, we talked about the Patriots and their needs, but they're kind of in a bit of a rebuild. I think we've got to say, with the fact that we're saying that there's a lot of old guys on this team, a lot of one-year contracts. We don't know whether Rodgers is coming back next year. Who knows what he's going to do? He's in a world of his own in the offseason. I think it's really, really key to have a look at what has been successful since the rules have changed on the defense. The ball is now dominating the middle of the field is now a big thing. When we look at the previous Super Bowl winners of like the last 10 years, that with the Chiefs, with Kelsey, with the Patriots and the Buccaneers, with Gronk, with the Eagles, with Zach Ertz. I think Zach Ertz was their leading receiver, wasn't he, when they won it in 2018. Dominating the middle of the field. Take a look. Everyone who reached the championship games last year, what did we have? We had Mark Andrews, George Kittle, Laporta, and Kelsey.
Yeah.
I think that screams out that dominating the middle of the field with a big, strong tight end, especially with the rule changes again with the hip drop tackle, I think tight ends are only going to go up in value. So I think that should be the pick. I just can't get out of my head that they're going to go O-line. And Sky, you said previously as well, you thought safety was a key position for them. There's no first-round safeties in this draft. I would argue that you're probably not even going to go... There might be a couple in the second round, but there's good safeties in this draft. They're good. They're just not high-end. So if you're going to address the safety, they can address that later on and still get some really, really quality players. So there's no need for them to address that early with that pick 10. It just wouldn't be suitable. So they'll address that later on.
You said they haven't got a second round pick. I'd say two players that maybe in the third round maybe drop to them that do play that position.
Let's have a little look. What pick have they got in the round three?
In the third round, they've got the 72nd pick. So 2, 4, 6, 8th pick in the third round.
I think you're looking at maybe like a Kalen Bullock or a Cam Kitchens, who are two of the top names for safeties as well from Miami, USC. I think they'd be perfect for them. I think they'd definitely be there. I think Jaden Hicks after that, probably looking at from Washington State. But yeah, if they can get Bullock or Kitchens, I think they're quids in there. I think they're two of the top safeties in this, and I think they'll be available around that 70 mark for them as well. So it should be all right.
Let's move on to the next team we're going to talk about, and that is at the number 13 pick is the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, a team that I think could really do is strengthening a lot of positions, and but very, very exciting time under Pierce, their head coach. I'm really, really glad they stuck with him because I really feel like he deserved to retain the job, and I'm really glad they're going with it. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see sort of how this draft goes to really the culture and the sort of put the stamp on how this Raiders team is going to look under this head coach, because he was only really interim last year, but now he's getting the full gigs guy. And do you think the positions he focuses on in this draft may sort of define the style that he's going to bring to this team?
Yeah, I think lineman is a big one for me. And especially when you lose Josh Jacobs, you know, you kind of need to think, well, he seemed to want to run the ball, right? And I think bringing in, I know people talked about quarterback for them, but I think at the point of, like Andrew said, I know that my Patriots are rebuilding. You look at someone like the Raiders, they're clearly in the middle of a rebuild. I think a quarterback would be a luxury pick for them. You've gone and signed Gardner Minshew. I'd be looking at more trying to shore up that O-line so you can run the ball a bit more, you know, make the games closer by having time of possession, and then shore up the secondary as well. Obviously, we know Max Crosby, we know the pressure they can get up front, but I just think corner and safety, when I look at the Raiders, teams almost had their way at times until Pierce got the interim gig, like you said. When McDaniels was there, it was almost laughable. So I think they kind of need to address that.
I mean, they did go out this year and get in Cody Whitehair from Chicago. Mm-hmm. They got Dylan Parham playing at the right guard position. Anyway, this is on this depth chart that I've got here. They did bring Gardner Minshew, Andrew, because like we said, I mean, a quarterback is something that you'd instantly maybe go to. They've got Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew in as well. We know Gardner Minshew can win games. He went with the Colts last year and obviously played over Anthony Richardson and got injured. He's capable of leading a team. Do you think that they're going to be looking around there, or do you think it's going to be sticking to the O-line? Because I do agree. I think the O-line is something they need to look at. And I know corner and safety as well. I just think, I feel like the Raiders every year, it's like corner. It always feels like corner.
They're a very interesting team again, because I hear lots of people say they're in a complete rebuild. They've got loads of holes. They need loads of positions to fill. And then on the flip side, I listen to things and a load of people saying they only need a couple of pieces and they could contend. And I'm like, am I seeing a different team? I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't know. Should I take another look at their depth chart and see what they've got? Because I think they've got a few areas they need to address. And I do believe we spoke about this on our little mock show that Gardner Minshew, they've brought him over. I think he's capable to play the full year. I don't think he's one of these guys that they've brought in a case where it's going to be like, oh, we brought him in to bridge the gap for 3 weeks till our rookie starts. I think that'd be unfair because he carried the Colts all year last year. We saw Baker find success in Tampa and it work out and get a contract. So there's no reason that Minshew can't rejuvenate his career and be a starter. And I felt like Aiden O'Connell outside of CJ Stroud was probably the most impressive of the rookies of last year's draft. Obviously not polished, not quite there, but maybe a year with Minshew, maybe another year in the NFL, you know, the kinds that give him 18 months. I think O'Connell could, you know, there's glimpses of a good young quarterback there. So I'm not sold on them being heavily quarterback needy. I do think they're sorted, I think, at left tackle and right tackle. I think maybe right tackle could improve. I do like Mumford, but he's an Ohio guy, so I'm obviously a bit more biased on it. But I can't help but think there's going to be a couple of guys on that O-line, like a JC Latham, that can play left tackle and right tackle, that's going to be available for them. There's lots of talks that Olu Fashanu still might be on the board there as well. And that's going to help out if they do take one a quarterback like the following year, because you've already got your tackle sorted, then your O-line sorted. Like I said, Devontae Adams, Jacoby Myers, Trey Tucker. I think that's a nice little trio they've got there at wide receiver. Michael Mayer, tight end. No one's addressing running back in round one. So I think that is an area they're going to need to address. I don't think Zamir White and Alexander Mattison's strong enough. I think they need another guy in there to support those two. But corner is, again, at the pick that they're at, what they got, Jack Jones and...
Jack Jones, Ja'Quarian Bennett, Brandon Faison, Sam Webb.
So at pick number 13, I'd probably hazard a guess they've got their pick of the cornerbacks, and there is some serious talent at cornerback in this draft. That Quinion Mitchell, Terrion Arnold. Definitely. You know, Quinion Mitchell looks a bit like Sauce Gardner. So, you know, I made the mistake of saying I thought Derek Stingley was the better cornerback than Sauce in the year that they came out. And, you know, although Stingley's good, Sauce has been insane. That new style, that new more athletic, slender guys to work. So they'll get their first pick of these stud guys there. So I can't help but think maybe that might be the area, because that. What have they got in the second round?
They've got mid-second, mid-third, mid-fourth. So they've got the 44th, they've got the 77th and 112th.
Still lots of very talented tackles on the board at 44, I believe. So I think they may, unless there's one of the super studs, like I say, if Olu Fashanu is still on there, then maybe they go, yeah, we can't pass up this opportunity. So, but I think maybe corner is the area they might address. I don't think they're as quarterback needy as what everybody's saying. Not sure whether, Sky, do you agree with the assessment?
Yeah, I agree. I think, like I said at the beginning, I think it would be a luxury for, I mean, I've seen some mocks say that they take Bo Nix at 44, and I just think, why would you do that? Like you said, O'Connell, I know people will criticise that there wasn't any star-studded plays, but he didn't turn over the ball much at all when he did what Pierce wanted him to do. So I think Minshew, you know, the Colts, we know, were one fourth down away from the playoffs, and it might be a different narrative around him. So when you've got the receiving core that they've got and Mayer at tight end, just roll with Minshew and improve your other positions. I think, like you said, the tackles are good. When I talk about the O-line, the mocks I've seen are them taking two guards. So, you know, get that interior sorted, try and improve your secondary, and maybe they're closer than you said people think they're close. Maybe they are closer than even I realise.
I would put out there that they could think about another receiver in the third. I'm not as sold on the Adams, Jacoby, Myers duo. I think they could do with a, if there's another third guy in there who maybe could be your number two, maybe in the third round, maybe even the second if you want to push it. You know, you want to push it. But because this draft's so much depth, like we've spoken about on the show before, I think it's an area that they could look at in the third.
Yeah, third would be an all right. Like I said, they're not looking for wide receiver one. I think unless you're looking for wide receiver one, or you've got nothing outside of your actual wide receiver one, then there's no need to overspend. That, like I said, the hit rate sort of drops a little bit. I think everyone's now on the narrative of, how can we find the next Puka? I think that's going to stump people a little bit, because they're always going to be going, oh, we can find that diamond in the rough later on. But yeah, I think they've got two solid guys, and Trey Tucker looks like he can produce the goods as well as a youngster, as a rookie last year. So yeah, if they're picking someone up in the fourth, I think they've got a few, just one fourth, one in first, second, third, and fourth.
If
you're looking at maybe a Jalen McMillan falls down that far, maybe a Brendan Rice in round four or five, maybe there's going to be some guys with that sort of diamond in the rough ability later on in the fourth, fifth round. So I think they could go, like I said, corner at one, tackle at two, maybe running back in the third, possibly. I think, and then wide receiver, so they should be sorted.
I think it does. It's sort of way. It's the way of by their pick. You're thinking maybe one or two tackles off the board. You're still going to get probably a very high end guy. But I don't know if there will be a corner taken off the board by the time it comes to the Raiders pick. And if you've got the chance to take the premium corner in this draft, yes, it may. We've got some good corners here. I don't feel like we've got the. I know Queenie Mitchell's similar to Sauce Gardner, but Sauce Gardner came with so much hype in that draft, didn't he? You know, we've not had that much hype on these corners, I would say, in this draft. But you could get the best one of this bunch. And in a position, let's not forget, that is one of the most important in the NFL as well, and that you are significantly weak at. So I lean to corner. I think you're right. I think if they take Queenie Mitchell or they want to go to for Arnold in that pick, I think that would be really sensible. I think it's a pick that the Raiders fans will like as well. But I do think it's going to be interesting to see how the organization goes about this with new head coach and a guy that everyone loves in the building. The last team we're going to be talking about this evening is the Dallas Cowboys, that are picking at the number 24th pick. They have got 7 picks in this draft. They are also low down in the second round as well. Low down in the third. And have they got multiple picks in the fourth? I felt like I read the other day.
And they've No fourth picks.
I also have got a few ones further down the line. They are your team, Sky. Well, I know it's a very much a running joke on this podcast, but you have a two-team allegiance of the Dallas Cowboys and the New England Patriots. Patriots come first, of course. But
yeah, of course. I smile more, though, when you said the Cowboys. Maybe it's because their window's still open, right?
You believe that window's still open with Dak, right? Is that you're a Dak
believer? I think with I won't go as far as believer, but I think that him and McCarthy, it's the typical NFL storyline of it's both 1 year for them to prove themselves, right? This is where you do your talking. Let's see if you are the franchise guy, and let's see if you're the head coach. Otherwise, next year it could be Bill Belichick and Trey Lance.
Well, it's a team. But it's definitely got. I don't think so much holes. There was one very glaring hole for me, yeah, with the Dallas Cowboys. Then everything else is sort of like, I think, like you said, this is their window now. All this draft is going to be about reinforcing this and obviously looking a little bit on the future. But I think they are going to want. They're going to look for a little bit of talent that's going to hit. Maybe not hit straight away, but it's going to reinforce the guys that are definitely going to start. Sky, what positions do you think these guys need to focus on, especially on that 24 pick?
Yeah, Andrew knows who I had in my mind for a conversation on Saturday at the running back position, but we'll leave that to him to pick that one up. They definitely need to address that, because I was so high on Tony Pollard, mainly because of how strong the O-line is for Dallas. I know the second position I highlight was that the interior side of the O-line they probably need to shore up, but I feel like the O-line is still, you know, able to perform at a high level. So getting a young rookie running back in, they're probably one of the only few teams that need to address that and might address that early. And then also with Van Der Esch retiring, obviously he battled a lot of injury problems. I think a need to have, we've seen young linebackers over recent years come in and make a bigger statement and become leaders from their rookie year and early years on. So if they can hit home there, that would be great. So I'd say, yeah, running back, interior on the O-line, and then a linebacker to replace Layton.
I'd have to agree with you. The problem is I think the 24th pick, I don't think they're going to be sticking there. I think they'll move down. But Andrew, do you agree with these positions? Do you agree with my little assessment there?
Well, obviously their main issue is running back, but there is no first round running backs in this draft. Some people might argue they're not second round worthy. I do think that Dallas is the team that will go dip first into the running back pool. I also think they might double dip in this draft. I reckon they're a strong candidate to take two running backs in this draft, because Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughan I don't even think are good enough to be RB2. So yeah. I think there's a strong possibility they are the first to pick a running back in the second round. So they'll get their pick of them, whether it's a Jonathan Brooks, who obviously has a lot of similarities in his play to the likes of Bijan and Gibbs. So he's got their similarities. So we can see it transitioning well, whether it's a Trey Benson, who's just a big, heavy back that can deal with it, or a Marshawn Lloyd or someone like that. I don't know, maybe. And again, double dip later on, Frank Gore Jr., guy that's a heavy workload guy that can take it all. Who I don't know why people aren't talking about him, because his stats are fantastic at a very small school. So, yeah, I think they might double dip on that. And again, he said linebacker. Again, it's not a position that's highly valued. There's not there's one guy in here that is a bit of a stud, Peyton Willis. That's, again, he's going to be late, I think late second. So a lot of the other guys, I think you're going to be getting in the third round, and they've got that third round pick. So this first pick, everyone thinks it should be the non-flashy pick of O-line, because their O-line is not fantastic. I think, you know, they're praying that Tyler Smith can play left tackle. He's been playing at left guard, struggled with penalties. They've got TJ Bass at left guard now. Zach Martin's moved from tackle to guard. Terrence Steele's come in at right tackle. So I think that it's the O-line's weak, and they've got to, if they have any chance at keeping Dak upright. Now, he's not as mobile as what he used to be. I think you're more worried about getting injured than anything. They've got to address O-line with that first round pick, because they definitely need to dip into those lower round categories with the next pick. They can't go, oh, do you know what? Let's leave it, because they need to go running back and they need to go linebacker. So I think you've got to take the O-line there, even though there is value later on. So I think it's going to be a non-flashy pick. I just can't get over the fact. Now, I'll say this to you guys now. We know that they're not offering Dak another contract, surely. We know this. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He's probably gone. I don't think this team on paper is strong enough to go all the way. I think they've got CD Lamb, and that's it at wide receiver. I don't think Cooks and Tolbert are quite good enough for me. So I think it's that. Nick Ferguson's nice. I like him. But if there's still a quarterback on the board at their pick in that first round, could either of you guys, if Michael Penix is still there, could you see them taking a quarterback at this point?
Who wants to go first? Let me and Fred agree, though.
I don't see it either. I think there is certain teams in the NFL that do not rock the boat like that. I also think it is why we debated this when we talked about this, and I think it's very fun to pose about Miami maybe taking a quarterback and not paying Tua. I think that there's certain teams, and Miami and Dallas fall into this category, that don't rock the boat like that. And that in the building, they love the player. I think they love the player. I think that Dallas loves Dak, and I think Miami love Tua. I'm not saying the fans do. I'm just saying the building does. I think with both players, what we don't see is the intangibles in the workroom. Is that I think that a lot of some of the stuff that we hear about Dak is he's a great leader. He's great, you know, he's great in the room. He's a great teammate. I think Tua is probably that way as well, though we don't hear it as much, maybe. So I don't think there's, I just cannot see it. I think it's very interesting, very fun to think about.
They can't afford him next year.
No, they can't, especially when they've got to pay Lamb.
They've got to pay Lamb. Lamb is currently sitting out. He's not turned up to OTAs. He's holding out. He says he's going to hold out for the contract. It's going to be a big contract as well, isn't it? Mm. It's going to be like 100 million. Parsons and Lawrence, I think, both need contracts as well.
I think you move off Lawrence, and I think you'll move off Trayvon Diggs.
He's hurt again.
Him on, and his contract will be decrease the amount on their books and will be moved on. That'd be my prediction, is that you don't pay Lawrence at his age. You move on Diggs, you pay Parsons, you pay Lamb, and you renegotiate with Dak and move some funds around. That'd be my assessment of it. Sky, I don't know whether you agree with that.
No, no, I do. I just think that I pulled a face there because I know we had this conversation on Saturday about your Steelers with Fields, and I think there's with young quarterbacks, someone like Trey Lance, who they signed, and they have an opportunity there. I feel like if this, as much as I said their window's open, we know any NFL team takes one injury, right? And it can go sideways. Maybe there's a point in the season where the Cowboys give Trey Lance a run to evaluate what they've got. You know, he signed for another season. I just don't think, I think Jerry Jones almost likes that of being like, well, I've got Dak there. Like you said, we love him internally, but I've also got this guy who the Niners were really high on and there could be some untapped potential there. So let me just keep him, let me keep Dak on my short leash. Let me improve the needs elsewhere. You know, let me maybe go O-line, like was mentioned. I think he'll play it weirdly, very un-Jerry Jones this draft. Pretend that it's all well and good with Dak and McCarthy and make the smart picks. But as we know with Dallas, it could all well by November. It could change and we'll say, we're not paying Dak. Lance is having a run and I'm going to bring someone else as a head coach as well. But yeah, I just think that even with the receiver stuff, I completely agree with what Andrew is saying. Like, I think the Cowboys could go and get someone like a Leggett. But he's a guy who I've looked at and think would be good for the Patriots. And he's just someone who I seem to kind of feel like he's built like AJ Brown. And I think the Cowboys would be smart to draft someone like him. But in my top three needs, I don't see a receiver as the need. But I do agree that that is somewhere that they could look. I think maybe Tolbert might have a breakout, but if they're not sold on that.
If we stick with, let's say they are going O-line, Andrew, what sort of names do you think are going to be around there for Dallas to look at?
Well, obviously they like a flashy pick. They like, you know, the glitz and the glam. And for me, there's an O-lineman that is a flashy glitz and glam pick. And it's Amarius Mims. The guy is built literally like a god. He is massive. He's huge. When he walks into a building, he's the biggest guy. He's athletic. He's just an absolute monster and machine. So if you're talking about glitz and glam at a position that's not called it, it's the guy. That is the guy. It's got to be Amarius Mims. It's just, you know, he's got a very, very high ceiling. It's just, we've not seen a lot of him and he's had his injuries. But if he lives up to what we think he can be, he's about as glitz and glam as you can get at the O-line position, I think. So Amarius Mims for me at 24, I think would probably be the pick.
No love for maybe a Jackson Powers Johnson or is in the centre? Because they've only got Brock Hoffman at centre. I mean,
yeah, would he go earlier than that if, you know, he seems to be one of the top guys?
I think that tackle is a bigger need. Like I say, they can move Smith back into that guard. I think tackle is definitely a need for them. That's the area of struggle. Whereas Jackson Powers Johnson's a center and can play guard, so I don't think that would be. Although he's the best at his position, there's a massive drop off at the centers from him. I think Amarius Mims is a solid tackle and you're only playing him at tackle. I think that's what they need.
I think I agree with you that the moving Tyler Smith back to guard is like imperative for them. Like moving him back to guard, having Zach Martin him in as guard, I think the centre position then, you cannot have excellent at that because you've got two great guards and then two high-end tackles there. It's just whether they're going to trust someone like Mims coming in and being your left tackle straight away. Or maybe they move Terrence Steele over to left and have him on the right. I don't know. Maybe they do that to put a little bit less pressure on him. I'm not sure.
I do think the ideal team that might, I don't know, look, Eagles are at 22. And they're a team that could take Mims and not play him for the year and let him come in slowly. Yeah. And I worry that that could be the pick at 22 because no one's talking about it. Everyone's saying cornerback. They were terrible over the top, but I think, you know, Bradbury, Slay, then they've got Keely Ringo and Eli Ricks waiting in the wings that were rookies last year. So it could be a sneaky one to take Mims off of them. I think he would fit well there. But if he is available and doesn't get stole by an in-division rival, then, I think that's the one.
Well, it's certainly going to be very interesting. Sky, Andrew, thank you for joining me tonight. We will be back next week and we will be doing a full mock draft, our official franchise tag mock draft. Not sure what the setup's going to be like yet in terms of whether it's what we want or what we think the teams will do.
It's officially what we think is going to happen in the draft. I think that's
Are we including trades?
That's I don't think we should include trades. We should just mention that is the team that we think might trade. But I think that's going to be the one, our final one, that we think is going to happen in the draft.
Well, I am very, very excited for that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Again, Sky Andrew, thank you for this evening. Again, you can find us on all social media, on all streaming platforms. Our YouTube's fantastic. Thank you for the support we've had at our YouTube recently. Lots of views on a lot of videos, and it's really great, especially these small clips that have been coming out as well. And make sure you catch our interview that Gareth did with one of the NFL Academy stars that is joining Colorado. His name has just escaped me, but you can go and find his name and the video on YouTube. And thank you for your continued support. Until then, have a good week, and we'll see you next week.